You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Breast cancer affects 1 in 8 women and 1 in 880 men. And while there are many non-modifiable cancer risks, lifestyle influences are being increasingly recognized as major contributors to the risk and the recurrence of breast cancer. Joining us live in studio today is Dr. Rayana Menon, a general and breast surgeon at St. Luke's. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much.
And a quick note, St. Luke's is a sponsor of Idaho Matters. Dr. Menon, let's talk about lifestyle risk first and obesity, because as of this year, 30% of Americans are now considered obese.
And that's a difference. Usually we talk about Americans being overweight or needing to lose a few pounds, but really at obesity, it's 30% of our entire population, so it's a huge public health issue.
And when we talk about obesity then, numerous factors when it comes to health, breast cancer being one of them.
Multiple, diabetes, heart disease, just an ability to get up and get around. And so certainly more and more we're discussing it. 30 to 40% of cancers can be attributable in some way to obesity.
So there's some good news, because we don't want this to be all doom and gloom, because studies are actually increasingly pointing to things like cancer-fighting foods, lifestyle and interventions. So I want to start with food.
Yeah. So I kind of say eat like you live on a farm. So I think one of the biggest differences we've had in the last 20, 30 years is the type of food we have and how it comes to our table. So before it was kind of a lot of work to make a giant meal. Now we have processed foods. You open up a package. You can get cheap and easily high-calorie foods at the gas station, anywhere you go. And so it's the types of foods that we eat. And so generally I say if you can make it, and you can recognize what goes into it, that's what you should be eating. So we all like sugar, but sugar that comes in the form of a pie that your neighbor brings over or that you make with your kids after school, butter, sugar, eggs, flour. These are, you know, sugary treats that we can also enjoy making and recognize the ingredients that go into it. That's a lot different than opening up a package and getting thousands of calories without really even recognizing that's what it is.
You know what's interesting, too, is this whole idea of, like, eat like you live on a farm, is that when, and it is difficult, but when you decide to try to take as much processed food out of your diet and eat that way, the amount of food that you actually consume, I think, would be fairly shocking, because you eat a lot of food.
There's a really great study that was, it's a small study, and it was a 2019 study from the National Institute of Health. And it's small, only about 20 people, but they stuck 20 people in two different rooms. One, they gave them all access to ultra-processed foods, and the other, they gave them all access to whole foods and just saw what they ate. And they did other things and went about their day. But in the processed group, they ate 500 calories more per day than in the unprocessed. And then powerfully, they switched them. And this was a repeatable finding. And so not only that, but this was only 2 weeks. They gained 2 pounds in 2 weeks in the processed food group and lost about an eighth of a pound in the non. So you can see how this is kind of an artificial group, but mm-hmm. you can see how over time you're not really realizing how much food and any extra calories that you're putting in.
So when you say eat like you live on a farm, I think people can grasp the idea of, like, okay, there are, you know, chickens and there's vegetables and all of that on a farm. But what other things would go into that diet? Because we need good fats, too.
We need good fats. And we need there was a study this year that talked about not only do we, as Americans, eat a lot of the wrong things, we're not eating enough of the right things. So one place that they pointed to specifically were whole grains. And so we think of whole grains like, okay, well, we bought the cereal that says whole grain on it. But really, that's a lot different than finding a grain, boiling it, and putting it in. So some of the ones I point to are farro, which not a lot of people know about, but mm-hmm. you can get it in bulk at Winco. It's kind of chewy. It has a nice texture to it. Quinoa, whole wheat berries, oats, things like that that you can recognize it as a plant that it once was. These have really good cancer-fighting properties, omegas, and a lot of fiber, which helps with, you know, everything from bowel health to heart disease.
And things like nuts, avocados, I mean, those are good
really
fats.
Good fats. And so it isn't about, and this is what I tell all my patients, fat doesn't make us fat. Sugar makes us fat. And so when we can really remove those processed sugars, particularly sodas, kind of one of the things I focus on are, what do you drink? Are you drinking a 2-liter bottle of Mountain Dew a day? Clearly, that's the place we need to start. But substitutes like, so 65 grams of sugar in a medium-sized bottle of Coke. That's a lot when the World Health Organization recommends about 12 grams of added sugar in a day. So you're getting 5 days of
worth of sugar
in the one thing. And that's not even something you're even thinking of. You're just thinking of, this is the drink that goes with my food.
And we also know things like stopping smoking, mm-hmm. right? And let's talk about exercise as well. We know we're supposed to move. But when we talk about this and trying to make changes for cancer fighting purposes, what does moving look like?
Yeah, so we don't need to go out and run a marathon. This is Boise, there are a lot of marathon runners, there are a lot of hikers.
But you don't need to be one.
You don't need to be one. You do need to get out every day, 20, 30, 40 minutes a day, and just walk. And I like to say, if you're with your friend or you're talking on the phone, you should be a little bit out of breath, and that's the right pace to be going. And walking in and of itself is a great cancer fighter, just getting yourself to move. It also burns kind of the sugars that we have around and are good for your muscles and good for your bones and getting out and moving. It's also a stress reducer, getting out in nature and being around people that you like.
And we know that making changes, whether it's to diet, exercise, it's hard. But it's those little steps. So what would you encourage someone who's listening? Maybe what should the first step look like?
I think that if you have to do one thing, if I said just the one thing, not drinking any sodas at all or any added calories. So the sugar, if you have to go after one thing, I would say it's the processed sugars. And so it's really hard. It is truly an addiction. So what I say is try 3 days. And it really does only take 3 days until your body stops craving it. Your first day, you're a little bit grumpy. You're not feeling great. And so substitutes like nice cheese at night with some crackers, raw nuts, which are great for you, but also salted nuts are great. These are things, a handful of foods that really substitute in that craving and get you through that snacking period. And it's just a way to eliminate the sugar in your diet. Again, fat doesn't make us fat. Sugar mm-hmm. makes us fat.
And when you talk about, you know, lessening your risk of cancer by doing these things, you're not talking by just a small percentage.
It really isn't. So these are very difficult studies to do because obviously we're not always honest about what we eat and it's hard to take stock of every single thing. But generally when we look at diets that are full of plant-based foods, so I'm not saying it has to be vegetarian and vegan, but really moving towards where your plate is two-thirds fresh fruits and vegetables, grains, a little bit of meat, a little bit of dairy, avoiding red meat when we can, and avoiding processed meats and smoked meats. When we move towards that healthful plant-based diet, mm-hmm. there's about a 15% reduction in breast cancers and many other types of cancers.
All right. The one thing we have to talk about when I've read this, alcohol. And why I'm shocked by this is the amount of alcohol that could make a tremendous difference.
It's something that I don't think we've
We don't want to hear about it.
We don't want to hear about it because we think, well, I'm not a heavy drinker. I have a glass of wine every other night when I'm making dinner. I have a glass of wine after a long day.
It's not a big deal.
I go out with friends and I have one and maybe a second one. Before you know it, you're at 5, 6, 7 drinks a week, which I don't think any of us would consider heavy drinking. But the research does show us that even 3 drinks a week increases your breast cancer risk by about 15%. So it's really a lot. And that can be beer, wine, hard alcohol. It is the actual alcohol.
When I read that, I had to read it again because I thought, like, I saw the three drinks. I'm like, oh, 3 drinks a day. I don't do that. And then it said 3 drinks. I was like, a week?
It
was also that you could decrease your cancer risk by 15%.
And it's particularly true among young women. And that's kind of the time when maybe college
might be drinking a little bit more.
And so heavy drinking in late teens, early 20s is really a high risk factor for early breast cancer. And so one thing that I've done for myself is just not drink during the week, wait till the weekend. One side effect that I've found that's been great is I sleep a lot better.
You sleep so much better when you cut it out during the week.
And then the size or the amount. And so I think a lot of us have these beautiful wine bottles. bowls. And so it doesn't take a lot.
You don't need a fishbowl of alcohol.
You don't need a fishbowl of alcohol. These tiny little cups makes you feel like you're a dainty little person, and you also get less alcohol.
Perfect. Such good advice. And I think, you know, trying to make it tangible for people as well, because these are tough steps to take.
They really are.
I want to thank you so much. Our guest today, Dr. Rayana Menen, she is a general and breast surgeon at St. Luke's. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Up next, a preview of Opera Idaho's newest production. This is Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette.